Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
Aboard! You're on the crazy train!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Good morning, everyone. We're glad you're with us this morning. We do appreciate it. And as you know, we come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live, we are unrehearsed, and we are on 1250 a.m. and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Who's we? Well, he's Dan Bush, I'm Tom Neubauer, and Sam Schmitz is on the boards. And if you want to get involved in the show, got any questions or comments, 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. We'd be happy to take your calls. Good morning, Dan, and good morning, Sam.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
So, what's on your minds this beautiful Saturday morning? And it is a beautiful morning out. The lakes are fairly calm, you know, and a little chillier out this morning, but it's really nice. Supposed to be a really nice weekend.
Traffic is light and variable on Eden's Expressway. We have one rollover on the...
Oh, yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yes, it has been, yeah.
It's been a long time since I did that, so, yeah. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, yeah, you were going to ask about a fishing report. Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. Monday, my son Chris got out of work early, so I met him at 4 o'clock, and we went out to one of the small area lakes. And now, this is a lake that whenever we go there, yeah, we always catch a couple of bass. We always catch a bunch of northerns. It's like you can't help but catch a northern. They're just on anything and everything. And most of them are undersized. But the reason we go there is for the nice crappies. Last year, boy, were we getting really nice crappies, you know. And we'd always, you know, we'd go there to get fish to take home to eat. Well, on Monday when we went out, this was really strange. We caught more bass than we ever did any other time going out to this lake. We caught a whole bunch of them. And nice ones, too. Second of all, we never caught one northern pike, not a one, which was really strange because you can't help but catch them out there. Not a one. And the crappies, we went to our crappie spots where we always catch crappies, and we did catch crappies, but they were all, you know, like 4 or 5 inches. They weren't those, you know, 9, 10, 11s. So, I mean, yeah, we had a good time. We caught some really nice bass, but... You know, as far as the crappies and the pike, that was really strange. Really strange. But we did have a good time. But I'll tell you one thing, Danny, that I've been seeing on the area lakes this summer has been more kayaks than you can shake a stick at. I mean, kayaks, paddle boards, canoes. Man, I'm telling you, it's just crazy. Just crazy.
So let me ask you, Tom, you were getting a bunch of bass. Were you fishing shallow?
Not real shallow, no. The water was probably anywhere from 5 to 8 feet. It was off of the shoreline, not up by the shore, but, you know, 20, 30 feet out in front of these docks, you know. I mean, we tried casting closer to shore. We might have caught a couple close to shore, but basically they were all out a little bit on the weed flats.
And what kind of water temps?
You know, to tell you the truth, never looked because it was a warm day out. It was like 80 degrees, you know, whatever it was, high 70s. I never really looked.
The only The reason I ask is the other day, finally, I started seeing a bunch of bass cruising in shallow here once the water got really warm. And then we had that big blow come through here, and I don't see them anymore. I'm just wondering whether you caught a lot of bass. That water warmed up, and you didn't see pike because that water warmed up, and they moved out a little bit, being as the bigger pike anyway prefer cooler water.
Yeah, we never tried the deeper water for the pike, you know, because normally, like I said, normally they're in the weeds, on the weed line edges, you know, the deep edges. And so they might have moved out and deeper, you know, they might have done that. But, you know, we were just there to catch whatever we could catch, but we mainly wanted to catch the crappies to take home. And they were all little son of a guns, you know, whereas last year they were all nice. So, and I know they can't all be gone. And every spot we went to, our normal haunts, you know, where we always catch them, yeah, we caught crappies at every one on the deep weed line edges. But by golly, the bigger ones just weren't around. So, and you think we'd catch one or two. So.
Well, is it true that certain size panfish will stay in, like, they're like in schools of...
Yeah.
In other words...
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
So if you're catching a bunch of, you know, 4-inch bluegills, it's not going to be too likely that you're going to have an 8-incher pop up in the group.
Well, I mean, it's possible. Anything in nature is possible. But generally, it's going to be a lot of 4-inchers, you know. So, yeah, it was just one of those things. So,
But you had kind of mentioned you were a little handicapped. You had a trolling motor that wasn't working.
Yeah, my son's bow mount electric motor is on the fritz, and as a matter of fact, he bought a new one, and John over at Anchors Away in Waukesha is going to install it, and he's got to do some wiring in my son's boat too, so he's going to take care of the electric motor, the wiring, do it all in one shot, and I think that's going to be that week after Father's Day. So, yeah, because right now it's kind of a pain when that electric motor's not working.
Think about it, Tom, how we have gotten to a point with trolling motors. The bass guys have the talons that put them in, you know, they can just, you know, put those down and just stay right in place. Or if you have the expensive trolling motors, you can use spot lock. You got all these things now. And think about years ago when all a guy did was go and make a strategic drift.
Exactly. That's what we were doing on Monday, making strategic drifts. And we were, you know, using the outboard a lot and then dropping the anchor a lot. Yeah, we had it. And yeah, years ago, that's what you did. You used the oars a lot of times, you know. Or remember the first electric motors were all transom mounted. And That was better than none, I guess, you know, but it still was kind of rough. But we've become so dependent on the bow mount electric motor, the electronics, and the electronics nowadays are unbelievable. We've become very dependent on that stuff, you know. And there was a time when we went fishing when, by golly, if you had, what were those called, Danny, the first locators? The green box, was it? The Lowrance green box?
Yeah,
I think that's what it was. I mean, if you had one of those, man, you were living high on the hog. You know,
They didn't just call that the Vexlar, did they? Or
no. It was the Lowrance. Lowrance was the first one that had
Lowrance, right?
Yeah,
but there was seems sonar. To me there was some name for it.
Yeah, the green box. That's what it was.
The green
was
box.
Green. Yeah, because it was green. And the thing about the green box was that it was portable, and you could, you know, you had to have a special adaptation for the transducer on your boat, and you could use it summer or winter, you know, on your boat, on the ice, whatever. So it was literally a green box that you open the top up. It swiveled, and I remember because I had one, and it was pretty great to have one then, you know, to know what depth it was and know where the weeds were. And you could actually, you know, see marks where there, you know, could be fish or could be something else, floating weeds. But still, it was pretty cool. But nowadays, with this side scan imaging and all that, heck, you can see the actual. It draws pictures of the fish. You know, you can actually see them.
So Let me ask you this, Tom. Before they came out with Behind the Green Box, what exactly did you do to test the depth? If somebody said, hey, how deep is it here, Tom?
Well, you know, it's funny. You either use an anchor, but I thought I was pretty clever when I was younger. Years ago in Windows, there was called a window sash. It was a weight, a lead weight, that was like maybe 10 inches long by about inch and a half, 2 inches in diameter, inch and a half in diameter. And it had a little hole on each end because you'd have to tie some kind of rope to it, and that would help the windows go up and down. And it was cylindrical in shape. Well, anyway, I would tie a thin rope on that, and that was how you could test the weight. And I also found out at the time, many years ago, that also helped us catch perch on Lake Winnebago, because we would drop that weight onto the gravelly areas and bounce it up and down and create some sediment movement and a noise. And we always seemed to catch more perch when we did that than if we didn't do that. Whether or not that was a scientific test or not, I don't know, but it did.
Well, I think it's real scientific, Tom. I always did. There was always a two-step procedure when my buddy asked me, how deep is it here? Number one, first thing you did was grab the oar and stick that down up to your armpit. And if that didn't reach, then you grab. But those were my two scientific methods of finding out how deep it was. And even then, it wasn't like your anchor rope was measured off in foot increments. You pretty much kind of estimated from there.
Yeah, it was totally a different time, you know, totally different things going on. But, you know, even though we have all these fancy things, Danny, we still got to get the fish to bite. They don't always bite. And, you know, you might see them on a locator, or you might be in the right spot where they should be, but still, even if they're there, you still got to get them to bite. And that can be the tough part sometimes.
You know, what would be interesting, Tom, they got all these high money. These guys have the latest.
High money what?
High money fishing tournaments.
Oh, yeah.
Big money. So I was in powerlifting for years, and as powerlifting evolved, they got more and more assistive equipment, from knee wraps to squat suits were the earliest ones. Then they came up with a deadlift suit, shirts. Well, now they've gone retro in some of the competitions where they have what's called the raw division, where you have to compete without any of those aids. What if we had a fishing tournament that you'd fish with nothing but a boat and motor, no electronics, no trolling motor? What if they had a lake and said, okay, who's the best now?
That would be interesting. That would be interesting. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, because then you'd find out, because nowadays they can just look on their, you know, find some reefs. They can just look on, they got the map. You don't need a lake map, a fishing hotspots map folded, you know, at the bottom. Now they can just look right on their big giant 12-inch screen, and they got a map right there.
That's right. I forgot about that. You got the maps right on the screen. My goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness.
So you can go on a body of water you've never been on and just look and say, there's a shoal over here. 2 miles away. Let's head over there and try that.
Okay.
So in the past that, you know, you'd have to find that reef and shoal. It was all spending time and experience. You know, the other type of hunting thing I've thought about is this. You got all these guys on TV, you know, with their, you know, showing off that they're shooting on their food plots, and they've got the trail cams and everything else, and we've made some of these hunters like they're, you know, the second coming of Fred Bear. How about let's drop them off in the Chequamegon National Forest, all of them, and with nothing but a compass, and say, okay, just get the biggest buck. Let's see who's the best.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I got to admit that. And something else that's interesting, Danny, is that after the break, I got some news on DNR campgrounds. So if anybody's going to want to go camping, I got some interesting information. So you want to definitely stay tuned for that. Hey, what is today's date anyway? Do you know what
it is? 13th.
Today is the 13th. All right. Well, this will be good news for a lot of people. So when we return, We will talk about that and, of course, a lot more. 799-1250 is the phone number. We're sponsored by Bait Made Fish Attractants. So stay tuned for more here on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. We are presented by Bait Mate Fish Attract and Coleman Insect Repellents. And I will tell our listeners, use the Bait Mate on a weekly basis, Tom. I've been doing a lot of pan fishing lately. Can I tell you my fish story?
Yeah, and then we'll get to what I teased about.
What did you tease about again?
But it was something that people about DNR campgrounds. But that's, what? I didn't hear you, what?
Go to the campground tees.
Oh, okay, real quick, I'll tell you the DNR campgrounds they reopened Wednesday on June 10th with conditions in place aimed to protecting park staff and visitors. So campers can start using the campgrounds. Park offices will remain closed to the public. Only online and phone reservations will be used to eliminate face-to-face interaction. Now, you can always call a toll-free number. You can just call the DNR, and you can make reservations to go to the DNR campgrounds. So the campgrounds are open now, and I'm sure a lot of people were looking forward to that. Now they can do it. Now, what happened with your bluegill fishing or pan fishing?
Well, I've been catching bluegills right here on the shoreline. In fact, I went out last week just out of curiosity because I hadn't seen any of them cruising in shallow. Typically with the pole, you can look and you'll see a bunch of them. But I didn't see anything, so I thought, well, maybe they're hanging just a little bit deeper. The water clarity has, you know, improved over here over the years. There, at the end of the pier, there was some deep cabbage. Sure enough, my first cast with the mini mite resulted in a 8-inch. So I thought, if I could catch a bunch of these, it would be worth filleting. So I proceeded to keep working on the not only the pumpkin seeds, but I found a pocket of some decent sized bluegills. Now most of them were about 7 inches, but they were fat 7 inches and some. So it was worth keeping some. And, you know, they kind of shut down on the mini mite, and I should have switched to live bait earlier because I'll tell you what, Tom, nothing works better for me for panfish than half a night crawler. Just you can get either just a plain and a little split shot, maybe 18 inches up from it, or just a little weighted jig head, put half a night crawler on that, and with or without a bobber, chuck that out. And you'll get bit. So once I started doing that, I started nailing them. It was kind of interesting. The guy was there with his family, and or a wife and husband were there with their family, and they had a couple fishing rods. So they started trying a little bit, and little girl, cute girl, she wasn't having much luck. So I said, here, let me help you out. So I went over, got a nice little threaded on half a crawler, put a small bobber on, and helped her. She got pretty good at casting, and she was really patient. She'd sit and watch that bobber, and she caught a bunch of nice bluegills. Hooked a nice bass, too, that broke her off, actually. But it was fun, actually, helping you know, fish and watch them catch that first fish. You know, I couldn't sit there idly by and just watch her not catch anything. I had to help her.
Yeah, I know. I think a lot of us, a lot of members of the audience too, we've all been in that situation where we've seen somebody fishing and not doing very well because they didn't have the right equipment. They didn't have. I remember one time out at Smokey's Muskie Shop, there was a guy and his young son trying to catch a bluegill, and the guy had a bobber on that was the size of a baseball. Then he had about a quarter ounce leadhead jig with a 3-inch twister tail on it, and he thought he was going to catch a bluegill, you know. So, you know, I gave him a mini mite. You know, I put exactly what to do, and there were some wax worms over at Smokey, so we even put a wax worm on the mini mite to make sure. And the kid started catching fish. He was having a ball. The father, you know, thanked me. I'm sure the parents thanked you too, right?
Oh, yeah. They wanted to pay me. And take it even if you, you know, offered. In fact, I was filleting up. I ended up just stopping at 15 fish, and I figured, oh, that's enough to fillet up. I don't want to do any more than that. And then I gave him the rest of my night crawlers. But no, yeah. I wasn't going to accept any money. In fact, giving the little girl had this real nice brand new tackle box. And it was neatly, it reminded me of myself when I was a kid, where I would just sit and I would neatly organize my tackle box, even in the middle of winter. You'd just sit like a kid playing with his toys in a sandbox, you know. You'd have this tray for this and this. One tray with a bunch of bobbers and another with hooks, and it was all neatly laid out. So I thought, she needs some bait mate for that tackle box. So I gave her a nice thing of bait mate to put in there, and she was pretty happy.
That sounds cool. Hey, you know, it happened again, turkey hunting, down in Tennessee this time, Danny. Two hunters were shot by a guy while turkey hunting. I guess he couldn't distinguish between a human being and a turkey, but he shot two of them. He shot two guys. I think it was one shot, and the pellets hit, you know, both guys that were probably sitting together. So, you know, it just amazes me how that happens, Danny. I mean, granted, I realize the turkey hunters are in camouflage. They're making sounds like a turkey and all that. But you and I know the first rule of when you're hunting and before you fire that gun is know exactly what you're shooting at. Identify what you're shooting at, you know. And so the guy shot two people. Unbelievable. Anyway.
I almost wonder, Tom, whether eventually it'll come down to some law being passed where you have to put a little tiny orange flag somewhere close to you, you know, up above your blind or something.
Yeah.
So someone
yeah.
can see a little patch of orange, something that may not deter the turkey, but somebody can identify. Because people will, what happens is this, and every deer hunter out there listening to me relates. You see a kind of a form. And it's a horizontal line, and you look at it, and it's kind of dim. It's maybe it's late light, early light, and then you look and it's fired up, and maybe you've seen or heard some deer. All of a sudden, it looks like, oh, that's a leg, that's a head, you can actually start to think that's a deer standing there when it's not. So I think that's probably the same thing that psychologically happens. The guy's sitting there, he hears the guy calling, and all of a sudden, oh yeah, that's the head. I think I see an. Now, of course, they shouldn't do that. You have to clearly identify your target. Never just guess. You got to know for sure before you pull the trigger. But sometimes I think adrenaline gets the best of people.
Yeah, I agree. And here's another one. This one comes out of the state of Maine, which was actually, I found this kind of funny because I've never heard of this before. But I guess eagles and loons sometimes get into squabbles, okay? They have some conflicts with each other once in a while. Well, in Maine, a loon stabbed an eagle in the heart with its beak. He must have hit that eagle pretty hard. Stabbed it in the heart with its beak. Can you imagine that?
So, did the eagle survive?
No, the eagle died. The loon won.
The loon must know that that's illegal to do that.
Yeah. But yeah, that I thought was really something, you know. That was crazy. You know, coming up next, we have the Hornswoggle in a few, not the Hornswoggle, we got the gut report in a few minutes. And then after the 6:45 break, we do have the Hornswoggle. Have you got your questions, your statements ready for the Hornswoggle, Danny?
Oh, yeah, I've been working on them for, you know, days.
Are they hard ones or easy ones?
Well, I don't know, you know. People just got to call and have confidence in themselves, you know. If everybody did something just because they heard it was easy, you know, we'd all jump off planes.
Yeah, that's one thing I'll never do.
Jump out of planes.
Yeah, speaking of that, you know, a lot of us, we look at these big airplanes, these monster airplanes, and we say, how did those actually fly? How are they staying up in the air? They should fall down. I feel the same way about cruise ships. Have you ever seen pictures of these cruise ships, Dan? They're so big. They're so tall. You ever notice that? I mean, and they've got like 5,000 people on them. And it's like those things should be tipping over. I don't see how they can stay upright. I really can't. I would never be on a cruise ship ever.
You want to know why you don't see it tipping over?
Yeah, I know why and all that. But I'm just saying it's not right. It shouldn't be that way. You know, it shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be. But anyway.
There's an awful lot of that boat under the water.
Yeah, I know. I know there is. Kind of like the Titanic. And I don't want to be on that one, and I don't want to be on some big cruise ship going around any kind of islands that have icebergs around them. Well, listen, after the gut report, I got something really interesting, Danny, you're going to like about wolves, all right? So okay. You're going to like that. The something I got coming up about wolves is super interesting. I've been saving this one for you, okay? And for the audience. So with that, we're going to go take a quick break here. It's only going to be a few minutes, folks. Stay tuned. We're brought to you by Baitmate Fish Attractants. And you can find us on two radio stations, either 105.7 FM The Fan or 1250 AM. Either one. Stay tuned. We got a lot of good stuff coming up. We'll be right back with more. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmitz will take your phone call. 799-1250 is the phone number.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. Well, have any of you ever tried Spam? Now, you know what's funny? I've asked some of my sons, what do they think about Spam? And they all turn their noses up at it. And I'd say, do you ever try it? And they said, no. And I said, well, how can you not like it if you never tried it? You don't know. And they just, no. I don't know. What is it, the word or something? But I've got a quick and easy little recipe here that'll change your mind about Spam. Number one, take two tablespoons of butter or any oil of your choice, but I prefer butter because it tastes good. Put that in a pan and start to melt it. Then take a half a can of Spam diced. Throw that in the pan. And a quarter cup of onion diced. Throw that in the pan. Now you gotta fry that on kind of a higher heat until it starts to get crisp. You want it crisp. That's the main thing. Then take a can of potatoes. That's right, a can. Easy peasy. You don't need to peel them and wash them and dice them and all that. Just take a can of potatoes, dice them, throw them in that pan, all right? Heat them all the way through. Now, salt and pepper to taste, and of course, Frank's hot sauce. You got to have Frank's hot sauce then on top. Now, if you want, I guess you can use ketchup. Ketchup is always good, but Frank's hot sauce if you like something a little spicier. And to tell you the truth, Frank's hot sauce isn't really that hot. It's just a different type of flavor. Anyway, if you try this, the Spam, the potatoes, the onion, salt and pepper, I'm telling you, it is really good. Just try it once. You'll be surprised how good Spam can be. The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you're going to find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow and Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan Bush along with Tom Neubauer. We are presented by Baitmate Fish Attractants, Coleman Insect Repellents. We want to thank all our listeners out there, friends and family, unknown folks to us, even our enemies. Thank you, of which, you know, Tom has none. He's such a sweet, gentle guy. But thanks for listening. We especially want to thank the law enforcement officers out there protecting us, keeping us safe. We thank the first responders, healthcare workers, and military, everybody else in the world working hard to keep us safe and great.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some people who don't like me, Danny. But you know what's funny? You probably know somebody like this that when you're watching TV, there might be an actor, or whatever. There's somebody out there that you've seen on TV and you just look at them and say, I don't like that person. You don't even know that person, but you don't like them. And I'm sure there's people who don't like me, even though they don't know me. And they say, I don't like that guy. So I'm sure that happens. But I've got something interesting for you, Danny.
What do you got?
What do you think? Now, this happened up in the UP, right north of us, which, by the way, I don't think should be part of Michigan. I think Wisconsin ought to take it back. But anyway.
We'd have to teach them how to read, Tom.
Yeah, I know. That'd be the tough part.
You know,
like don't send us any letters, folks.
Okay.
anyway, this guy up in the UP, he's charged with 125 misdemeanor charges for killing 18 wolves, 3 eagles, and more. What's the more part? Oh, he also shot a bunch of deer, turkeys, bears, bobcats, 125 in all. The main thing that got, you know, the people up there, the federales upset was the killing of 18 wolves. Now, maybe he's doing a little bit of a service for us with that part, but still, all these other animals, now this guy can't be playing with a full deck, because they asked him, why did he do it? Oh, he says, because I like to do it. There's some strange people in this world, Danny. Strange people.
Yeah, they're all in Seattle right now.
Yeah, so. They're in the UP, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, the guy just enjoyed killing all these animals. Well,
how'd they catch him?
It doesn't really say, but he was selling some and using them for crafts. So, but most of them, he was just disposing of them. And it doesn't say how they caught him.
Well, I'm just wondering how they got specific numbers, unless they, you know.
I don't know.
Bite light there and sleep deprivation for 3 days and made him confess.
I don't know. Or maybe wherever he was living in the middle of nowhere, maybe he had him, you know, stacked up in the barn, or maybe they were buried on the property. Who knows? But
stacked up in the barn. Sounds like Eddie Gein now.
Yeah,
or maybe
they
had a warden hiding in a hollow tree.
Yeah, maybe. You never know.
You know, you want to know what? I'll tell you what. I just figured out how this idiot probably got caught. He probably took GoPro video of himself doing it and put it on social media. As much as people want to see themselves doing stuff all the time, I mean, it's crazy. You get dumb criminals out there.
Well, I think that's a prerequisite for being a criminal, isn't it? Being dumb.
Being dumb. Well,
yeah.
Well, you said I think the term you used is the federales.
Yeah.
I think you invented a new word, Tom. Federales.
No, that's a name. That's a name. I think that was.
What?
Yeah. No, seriously. I think that's what was used down in Mexico when they talked about the federales. Yeah.
The
I'm
federales.
Serious.
How do you spell federales? Does it end with a Y and an S or I-E-S?
I think it's I-E-S.
Okay, yeah. Now I'm going to have to look that
during
up there.
During a break, you're going to have to look it up.
Okay? Tom's teaching us new words all the time. Well, the federales were upset about the wolf. Something I forgot to mention last week, as you guys know, I was up in Door County camping and fishing up there for the smallmouth bass. And Ron Johnson and a buddy of his, Brandon, saw something on the way to Rowley's Bay or maybe Sister Bay. One of them, I think it was the Lake Michigan side, so he must have been on his way to Rowley's Bay or North Bay, somewhere around there. A big black wolf ran across the road in front of him.
Ooh.
Now, Ron is a bass fisherman, so he's not a hunter. His brother, Dan, he said that it was big, long legs, long tail, and it took about just 2 bounds, and it was across the highway. But Brandon is a hunter and shoots deer, shoots bear, and he was the one, I believe, that's told Ron. That was no coyote. That was a wolf. And we talked to somebody in River Basin at that little bar there, the place that sells the T-shirts that say, Giver at the River. We talked to one of the locals there, and he did acknowledge that, yes, there are some wolves up there. And then the other thing up there, Tom, there's some monster bucks up in Door County. He showed me a picture of one a guy got of season. I believe it was last year or the year before. And it's a typical, and I believe it scored at 197. Just enormous.
Wow, that's big.
You really don't think of Door County when you think of giant bucks, but there are some big deer up there.
Yeah, I would imagine there would be, yeah. But I never, everything I've heard about wolves, I never thought that they migrated all the way up to Door County. You know, that means they'd have to come down the state, around the bend, you know, around the Bay of Green Bay, and then back up again. It seems like quite a ways of travel, but they can travel a long distance, and so it doesn't surprise me that there are wolves in Door County, but it's just I had never heard it before. It's interesting.
Well, nowadays they got the iPhones, and it just has the Google Maps and stuff, and the wolf just follows that. It's easy to find their way there. No problem.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see now, what else was I going to talk about? I can wait till after the Hornswoggle. We got a bunch of stuff. You know what? I'm surprised we haven't had any calls yet about some of the topics that we've been discussing. Oh, here's one other thing. Remember I was telling you earlier about you just seeing so many kayaks on the water and canoes and paddleboards? Over at Sherper's, I don't think they have any more kayaks. I think they're all sold out. Yeah, I might have seen one or two when I was there on Wednesday. Unbelievable.
The other thing I would like to warn our listeners about is keep your kayaks close. Watch your children and keep your kayaks close. They're getting stolen like crazy.
Is that right?
Yep. We had one that was stolen. My neighbor had one stolen right off the back deck here this spring. And really? I was on an online forum where somebody else in the area out here had one right in their backyard by the lake, and it disappeared. So it doesn't surprise me that you said that they're sold out at Sherper's, because you know people are stealing the doggone things.
Wow. Well, I'm sure Sherper's is going to be getting more in, but I guess everywhere, you know, license sales, fishing license sales are up like by 20% for this time of year. Kayak sales, canoe sales, those are all up. Fishing sales. I told you about Frank over at Cubby Tackle. He thought this was going to be a terrible year, right? You know, his shelves were full of mini mites. Nobody was buying them. Nobody, you know, but this was in March. And then as soon as they opened up the lakes and people were going out fishing, his shelves are empty now. Now he's got people working overtime. It's crazy how fishing has really taken off because I guess it's something people can do instead of being cooped up in the house, you know?
As boat fact, sales. Boat sales as well. I guess, are going great.
Yeah. I'm looking over at the public fishing pier. Not only are there four or five people on the public fishing pier, there's people down the shore, a whole bunch of people. Well, I'd probably say there's another four or five people down the shoreline fishing from shore. So, yeah, a lot of people are getting out doing it. And you know what else a lot of people are doing right now? They're listening to the next commercial break, getting ready for the Hornswoggle. And the Hornswoggle is brought to you by Carl's Country Market out there in Menominee Falls. They're on the corner of Pilgrim Road and Silver Spring. And it's also brought to you by Baitmate Fish Attractants and Coleman Insect Repellents. If you're a winner of this contest, you're going to get a $10 gift certificate to Carl's and a really nice prize package from Baitmate. So stay tuned. Call now. Danny's going to play the game with you. 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. Be a contestant for the Hornswoggle. We'll be right back with more.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. We do have our Hornswoggle segment going right now. Have we got a...
Yes, we got Jerry in Oconomowoc.
Okay, what was that name again?
Jerry.
Okay, hello, Jerry.
Good morning, hello. Jerry.
Hello,
all right.
How you doing?
Doing good. So you know how this works, Jerry? I'll make a statement. If I'm pulling your leg, it's a Hornswoggle. And if I'm not pulling your leg, it's... It's no Hornswoggle.
Yes, I've a long-time listener, first-time caller. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Sounds good. So here we go. Today's topic is the wily 13-lined ground squirrel.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so in the Wisconsin, many people see this tiny little animal and they call it a gopher, when in fact it is named the 13-lined ground squirrel. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
I'll say no Hornswoggle.
No Hornswoggle. Okay. You're one for one.
I got a few of them in my yard.
Yeah, okay.
I never seen those 13 lines.
Well, you've
they
seen
must be
the
invisible.
Animals. Yeah, you've seen the animal, haven't you, Tom?
Sure.
Yeah? Are they in your garden?
No.
Don't tell me you're elite 13-line ground squirrel. You'll be like that guy in Michigan with the 18 wolves and eagles.
Yeah, right.
Tom, 30 ground squirrels, 20 chipmunks, and 8 rabbits. They lock you up. Okay, so here we go. The 13-line ground squirrel is, however, especially dangerous. It will charge, run up your pants leg, and grab your testicles. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
I'll give it a Hornswoggle on that one.
There's a Hornswoggle on that one. You're two for two. All right. Let's see if you get this one. You can tell, have one run across the trail 50 yards in front of you. You can tell the difference between a chipmunk and a 13-line ground squirrel. Chipmunks bound and their tail is up. 13-line ground squirrel runs low, tail flat, and its belly flat to the earth. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
Ooh. I'll say no Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle. That's right. I can always tell when one runs across the bike trail, and
oh,
I can tell the difference between a wily chipmunk and the 13-line ground squirrel.
Jerry God, swept
more,
the board.
No more squirrels now.
Ah.
Yeah. So good
now
job, Jerry.
Yeah.
We will.
Congrats. Make
sure you leave your address with Sam I Am, and we'll get that stuff mailed out to you. And thanks for listening. Thanks for finally calling up and being a lucky winner.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen. I'm just passing by Lake X, according to Tom. I guess Lake X. I'm right in
that area right now. So. Is that a lot of people on the launch?
I haven't gone that way. I'm not off of 16. I'm going to 84.
Oh, you're different. Okay.
I'm on the other end.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Then I don't think you're by Lake X.
Oh, no. Oh.
No. Oh, no.
All
oh,
right.
You're going to have to do a little bit more investigating.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Well, have a good weekend, gentlemen.
You
thank
too.
You much.
Bye great. Now. Well, now we're more informed on the wily 13-lined ground squirrel. Is that what it was?
Yeah, we used to catch them at Spencer Lake Bible Camp. That's when I had my first introduction to the wily 13-lined ground squirrel, is that if you took buckets of water, it might take and pour them down one of the holes. Eventually, the wily 13-lined ground squirrel will run out the escape hole. Now, the thing that you had to do is it was a two-man operation. You had to have one guy with the bucket of water and the other guy with like a little box to catch the ground squirrel when he comes tearing. And yeah, that's how I learned from my good friend Tom Clifford how to catch the ground squirrels.
Well, I'll be a son of a gun.
Yeah,
I don't know if there was ever any around my house. I don't know.
We didn't really do anything with them. We let one loose in the cabin there. So we, you know, 12, 13-year-old lads in the cabin at night and the ground squirrel running around in there. And, you know, he'd kind of make little chortles and stuff and, you know, kind of kept us company. You'd probably be in trouble, I guess. I guess statute of limitations has passed. I probably... DNR for harassing wildlife, but we were just kids back then.
That's right. Well, we do a lot of dumb things when we were kids, and kids nowadays still do dumb things. I think that's like a rite of passage or something.
Actually, kids. I used to shoot them with a 22 years ago, because they stand when I got old. They stand like a miniature prairie dog.
Okay,
they'll stand perfectly upright. And it was a pretty challenging target to hit, so I'd kind of honed my skills on the ground squirrels to get ready for the big tree rats in the fall.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be, because they're not real thick. They're kind of thin, so that would be a tough shot, especially at any kind of distance. Hey, I got a question for you, Danny. Got a question. Yeah. Have you ever had Spam?
Oh yeah, I used to. Yeah, I discovered Spam shortly out of college when I was macaroni and cheese and tuna if I was really going exotic. And then I picked up some Spam and that was pretty good. The only thing that kind of creeped me out was all that packing gel around it.
Yeah, yeah. There's really not that much of that nowadays. They don't have a lot of that. But I'll tell you, one of the secrets with that stuff is, if you fry it, you got to fry it till it's crispy. And my sister-in-law told me that her former mother-in-law, the mother-in-law has passed away now, but she would make Reuben sandwiches, and instead of using corned beef, would use Spam, and she said they were delicious. So I got to try that one of these days, you know, see what that's like.
What wasn't Spam, didn't that come out during a war? During the war or something,
You know what? GIs probably did. It probably did.
Because it was something that came in a can and it could stay preserved and didn't need to be refrigerated.
Yeah. Hey, here's a trivia question for you. Do you know what the word Spam stands for? S-P-A-M?
What Spam stands for?
Yeah, the four letters. The four letters in the word Spam stand for something.
Well, you know where the meat comes from for... It's ground up 13-line ground squirrels.
Yeah.
It takes quite a few of them to make one can. That's why you don't see as many 13-line ground squirrels as you used to.
Well, the word actually comes from... It stands for St. Paul and Minneapolis. St. Paul and Minneapolis. Because that's where it's made, up there. And up there in Minnesota.
Is that made by the same guy that makes the MyPillow?
I hope not.
Maybe he can have a new promotion.
My Spam.
Get a second pillow and a can of Spam free.
Yeah, there you go.
Be the next infomercial that we'll see.
Hey, we got to go to a break. We got to go to the top of the hour break. Stay tuned, folks, for hour number two. We're having a good time here at the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmidt's on the boards. And so if you got any questions, comments, 414-799-1250. We're brought to you by Baitmate Fish Attractants. So stay tuned. We're going to go on a little bit longer ride on the crazy train. So get those tickets punched. We'll be right back with more.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, thanks for joining us, folks, for the second hour of power with Dan Bush and me, Tom Neubauer. I know, Danny, I stole that. You can always be part of the show at 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. And I got to remind you, though, that we come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m., so when you're getting up bright and early, with the crows waking you up early in the morning, you can always tune us on and get informed on what's going on in the fishing and hunting world and about some other crazy things. And also, Danny, I want to say hi to our friend, Sister Marianne Etzel. I hope she's up and listening. We talked about her a few weeks ago, so I hope she's feeling a little bit better. But good morning, Sister. Anyway, what else you got, Danny, on the docket? Anything?
What have I got on the docket?
Yeah, anything?
Okay, let me hold on. Let me check my docket here.
Are you looking it up?
A couple of things. You know, we're talking about a lot of things opening up with the COVID-19, I guess.
Yeah.
Which it's still kind of a crazy world right now. Some things people are out and doing, and other places it doesn't make sense. They have some places where you got a ton of people in close proximity, hanging out with no masks, and then if you go somewhere else, you got to wear a mask and stand outside the door and stand 6 feet apart once you're inside. So, I don't know. The whole one thing that I was kind of checking, apparently the fishing pier by the Oak Creek Power Plant has still been kept closed. And a lot of anglers, you know, the guys who like to fish from shore aren't happy about that. Apparently that was built years ago when they did some things out there. That was the agreement, that they'd build a fishing pier for the fishermen, and now they're not being able to get out there. I think they'll be making some announcement middle of June or something about it. But why would you be worried about a fishing pier? You're standing outside, great outdoors, and the wind and you're naturally, you're not, most people, fishermen aren't going to, you know, I try not to stand shoulder to shoulder with the next guy, give him a little bit of space. So to my way of thinking, it doesn't make any sense not to open that fishing pier.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, I always look at it this way too. You know, in Wisconsin, almost everything is open. Even in Milwaukee, they're opening up restaurants and all that, and play movie theaters are being opened. You know, this isn't Illinois, where everything's shut down still. This isn't Illinois. That's why I don't understand why we're not back at the station yet. I know that's a little dart I'm throwing at our station manager, I guess.
Well, I guess different states have different situations.
Yeah.
You know, right. California, you know, we got Waka, Loey's son-in-law. I hear him talking on the phone, or FaceTiming or Skyping or whatever, talking to his friends down there in California, and he's bragging to those poor souls that we're open and free up here in Wisconsin. Down there in California, it sounds like they're still under lockdown.
Yeah, I wonder too, over in Michigan, the anglers in Michigan were really upset for quite a while because the governor of Michigan had the boat launches closed and lakes closed, that you couldn't go out there. Now, was that for people who lived on the lake as well, you know? But as far as, you know, launching a boat and going fishing on the lakes, that was closed. And it's like, are you kidding me? Now, I don't know if they're still doing that now, because there was quite an uproar. Maybe if one of our listeners knows, they would give us a call at 799-1250 and let us know that. But that is just crazy, because like you said, Danny, you're out in the open, you know, you're breathing the fresh air, and especially if you're out in a lake, my goodness, nobody's around you. Hey, did you notice too, I don't know if you watched John Gillespie's show on Sunday, but he's not doing the social distancing anymore. I don't know if you knew that.
He's
hanging on to guys again. So no more social distancing for John Gillespie.
So he's putting his arm around their shoulder and saying, good job, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Well, he leans on them too, you know, puts his arm right up. But, see, and he was doing that, doing the social distancing for a while, and but not anymore. No, he even made mention of it.
Huh? How about friends that you meet, Tom? Are your friends shaking your hand?
Normally with friends, I don't shake their hands.
I guess we don't normally shake friends' hands, but maybe like acquaintances, if you haven't seen them in a while, you just, hey, how you doing?
You know, it's funny. That just happened the other day. I went to stick my hand out to shake somebody's hand, and the guy put his elbow out.
You know, I had that. Yeah. I had that happen to me, too. And to my way of thinking, it's 90% of the people are shaking my hand, but there is that 1 out of 10 that gives you the elbow bump. And yeah. I guess that, I don't know. I guess some people might say, oh, they're the smart ones, you're the dummies. On the other hand, is that just a reflection of a different person's mindset and worldview?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'll tell you what, though. I carry, in my car, I carry these little bottles of hand sanitizers. And, like, when I'm done grocery shopping, because, you know, because I'm touching a whole bunch of stuff there, you know. So when I'm done grocery shopping, as soon as I get out to the car, I wash my hand in that hand sanitizer. Now, when the virus first started and we were all on lockdown and everything was real serious, well, then I would wear gloves when I went into stores. I mean, I don't wear gloves anymore. I don't wear a mask anymore. I've been all over the place. And, I think as long as you just play it safe, I guess. Just stay away from anybody who looks sick or who's coughing and sneezing.
What are you talking about?
You just stay away from those people.
There's a sick-looking one. Over across the other sidewalk here.
Yeah. Well, you know, like if they're coughing and sneezing or whatever, it's like, I think I'll stay away from that. As long as I'm staying 6 feet away, then I'm good. You know.
Well, you know, if a guy wants a phone to fish on the... What's that one? Is the Busy Pier the Winneconne Pier or whatever?
Yeah, that's one
Winneconne
of them.
Bridge.
Yeah.
I guess that would be a great tactic. Just start coughing and sneezing and blowing your nose as much as possible, and you'll probably be able to clear out about 10 feet that you'll have to yourself.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Maybe you can use this strategically to your own advantage.
Yeah. Hey, don't give too many people an idea. I'm watching a guy trying to get into his kayak. I think he's going to fall in the lake. He's like on a very short pier. He's got the kayak in the water. He had 1 foot in, and he tried getting in, but then changed his mind because the kayak started moving away. I'm going to keep my eye on this guy. I don't know what's going to happen. I think he might flip that sucker.
Couple of things, though. Out here by Pewaukee, if you do come on out and launch by the, for many years people would park on the street out here right on Park Avenue, and they have signs that says 1 hour parking, and it never really was enforced much. Now they are actively giving tickets, so make sure that you park for longer than an hour here, and you can drive right down to the go about a block to our east, and on the left hand side they got that one big huge parking lot right after you cross the river. Go park there, you got plenty of spots there, but don't risk getting yourself a ticket, because a lot
of
people, and I think they were surprised.
Right. Hey, guess who we got on hold right now, Danny? Boulder Junction Connection. We got Dennis Royce on the line. Are you there, Dennis?
Yes, I am. How are you guys doing this morning?
Well, we're doing good. How's everything up there in God's country?
Absolutely wonderful. I was just down in Milwaukee Thursday, and I couldn't wait to leave and get back home.
Oh.
The weather well in there was nice, but I had some work to do and some appointments to make, and we came down and I left, and I got back home about 1:30 in the morning.
Well, what's going on up there by you? How's fishing going?
Fishing is up and down right now, Dan and Tom. It's the weather is up and down, and the walleye action was good, and it slowed down, and I hope it gets a warm spell here and we get warmed up a little bit, and it'll pick up again. Water temperature is running about 65 to 70 degrees, depending on the lakes that you're on. But the walleye fishing has slowed down a little bit. Muskie fishing has been real good. And the guys that are obviously fishing walleyes are also catching a lot of bass right now. Smallmouth is not open yet, but largemouth is. But anyway, the weather is up and down every other day. One day it's 90 degrees, and the next day we're worried about frost. Last night we had a frost advisory, so it's got to level out a little bit here.
Well, that's because you're close to Lake Superior. You get those winds coming out of the north and that, you know, and Lake Superior's got that cold water still, and you're not all that far away, you know?
Oh, I know it. And it has a lot to do with us. You know, like Lake Michigan has a lot to do with your weather down there. Lake Superior
right.
has a lot to do with our weather up here.
Right. So, anything else going on that's interesting or exciting, or is it just the regular old stuff?
Well, we're getting a lot of people up here because they want to get out of the city. I know I talked to our chamber director here the other day, and Teresa said that our bookings are just about full for the summer, which is real good. And it's people want to get away. They want, and a lot of people are. I talked to a lot of people. They want to stay close to home, but when I say close to home, within 200-300 miles. So. It's so far it's been busy. Everybody's very careful, of course. And I know you were talking earlier, I was listening to the station, I could get it this morning, talking about safety distances and where, you know, we're practicing that, but a lot of things are getting canceled. A lot of activities are getting canceled all over the state, fairs and fishing tournaments and different things. But I guess we just got to get through this. So to hope the best for everybody and keep healthy.
Dennis, how about you guys have your Musky Days or Musky Festival or whatever up there, right?
Right. There's a second Sunday in August, Dan, and right now there is a meeting on Monday whether or not that's going to take place.
Okay.
It has not been decided yet. I won't know until after this next week. I'm going to let you guys know if that's going to go ahead. I'll call in and let you know what's going on up here anyway, so...
Gotcha. It seems like just about every kind of festival and so forth has been getting canceled so far, and it's probably going to be the same for quite a while, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Dan, I think you're right. I think we gotta work through a new normal here. I don't know what it is, but we gotta be careful, and I guess people are cautious, which is a good thing, and we just gotta take small steps at a time. We get through this, and hopefully we get back to a new norm, I guess. I don't know what the norm is going to be, but it'll be a new norm.
Right. Well, listen, Dennis, we got to run to a break. Thank you for calling. We always appreciate your updates.
It's great to talk to you guys, and I like Spam. I know you talked about it earlier. often I still eat it. People think I'm old-fashioned, but it sure is good once in a while. But you got to
try it. Exactly. All right. Well, thanks. Thanks a lot, Dennis.
Thanks, guys. Nice talking with you.
All right. Bye now. That was Dennis Royce, our Boulder Junction connection, and we're going to a quick break right now. We're brought to you by Baitmate Fish Attractants. Stay tuned for more right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thanks for listening and being with us this Saturday morning. Being as you know, number one, if it were best for you, you'd be on the lake fishing. But number two, next best thing is listen. Three, if you can do both, that's even better if you got a radio out on the boat. A little bit of a chilly weekend this weekend, Tom. I think the forecast,
yep.
It's not going to be quite so warm.
No, but it's nice out, you know. Put a sweatshirt on, it's good. Hey, Danny, I got a very interesting story to tell you about St. Croix rods.
Okay.
All right. about 3-4 weeks ago, I think I remember telling you that I was setting the hook on a bass, and I think it was a bass, and my St. Croix rod broke. Now, I put it in one of those rod mailers, and I sent it to St. Croix with a nice letter, and a $20 check for return postage. And I finally got a call. I got a call from a nice fellow by the name of Andy from St. Croix. And because in my letter, I said, they can send me my new rod free because I have a lifetime warranty. You know, when I bought it in 1988, it had a lifetime warranty. Now, that's 32 years ago. I realized that. And Andy was trying to tell me, and he's right. He said, you know, Tom, he says, there was a lifetime warranty back then, but he says that was against, you know, manufacturer defects, you know. He said, and I think you would have found a defect before 32 years was up. And I says, yeah, you're right, Andy. You know, the, if there was a manufacturer's defect, it would have shown up before then. But a lifetime warranty means lifetime. Lifetime against manufacturer's defects. And I guess there must have been one eventually. Now, whether or not I had anything to do with it, I don't know, because I never, I mean, I've broken rods, St. Croix rods before where it was my fault, okay, where I slammed them in a car door or something and I broke it, and I'm not gonna try to get a free rod that way. No, I'm very honest about that. But this broke setting a hook, and well, St. Croix was very nice and said, yes, you know, we are gonna honor our lifetime warranty for that rod. So I got a new rod coming in the mail pretty soon now. So I got to give kudos to St. Croix for, you know, standing up to their lifetime warranty. Because, you know, there's a lot of places that will try to not stand up to it. Even though you've had it for many, many years, they try not to stand up to a lifetime warranty. Now, Andy did tell me something that almost all the St. Croix, except there was one, and I can't remember which one he said, they all have what's called a limited lifetime warranty. So some of them have a one-year warranty, some have a five-year warranty, some have a limited lifetime warranty. So when you get those St. Croix rods, make sure you check that warranty card to see exactly what you're entitled to.
You know why they changed it to a limited lifetime warranty, Tom?
Because of guys like me.
So guys don't send them in 32 years later. You got to be kidding me.
I knew you'd say that. I
can't
knew
believe
you'd
it.
Say that. I knew. Well, hey, what does lifetime mean to you?
Well,
I mean, lifetime is lifetime. For my lifetime, at least. Now, maybe not the lifetime of the rod. I don't know.
Well, you did have that heart surgery a couple months ago, so maybe the St. Croix almost made it through that lifetime thing. But yeah.
Well, you know.
Fortunately for them.
Well, the thing is that, you know, when you buy something that has a lifetime warranty, you're paying extra for that. I mean, and back in 1988, a Premier graphite rod, that was their top of the line. That wasn't cheap, okay? And you paid extra for that lifetime warranty. It's kind of like, you know, I know a little bit, not a lot. I just know a little bit about the knife industry. And, you know, all the knives, all these quality knives that you see, they all have lifetime warranties. But they will not warranty the knife if it's not used in the way it was supposed to be used. In other words, if you use that knife as like a pry bar and you break an inch off the tip of it, they're not going to warranty that because you weren't using it the way it should have been used. But there is a knife, the brand is Essie, E-S-E-E, Essie Knives. Now, that one has got a lifetime warranty. You can send them a half a knife and they'll replace it. Now, you're paying extra, you know, for that knife because of that lifetime warranty. You are paying extra. But unless you lose that knife, you will always have that knife for the rest of your life. Even if you break it in half, they'll send you a new one. So, lifetime warranties, I really believe that they should be honored by any company that offers them or had offered them many years ago. Because you pay extra for that. So, anyway, that's just my two cents worth. But like I said, I got to give kudos to St. Croix. They backed it up, and I should be getting that new rod in the mail pretty soon, and I'm looking forward to using it.
Okay. Well, okay.
I know. There's some people out there thinking, 32 years, Tom? Didn't you get enough use out of that rod? Yeah, and I plan on still getting even more use out of it.
Well, you know, St. Croix for years has had a great reputation, and I guess the thing I like about St. Croix, they're, what, made here right in Wisconsin?
Yeah, up in US Park Falls, product. Wisconsin. Yeah.
And as long as too many guys don't send in 32-year-old rods to be replaced, they'll be able to survive for a while and not have to go to China. So.
Well, you know, and you know what's funny, and we've talked about this before, about if, you know, if... I mean, I remember the story I told you how I sat on a Fenwick rod many, many years ago, musky fishing up in Boulder Junction. I sat on a brand new Fenwick, broken in half. My friend said, well, send it back. They'll give you a new one. And I said, no, I broke it, you know. They didn't do anything wrong. And that's the way I feel. Like I said, I've broken several St. Croix in the past, and it was my fault, though. As a matter of fact, I've got this beautiful rod, Danny. It's a... It was a 7-foot St. Croix tournament legend rod. I think it's called Tournament okay. Series Legend. Beautiful rod, right? Well, it's about 2 inches shorter than what it was. And that was my fault, you know. That was my fault. So, anyway.
Well, you know, St. Croix, great rods. I bought one from you years ago, and the rugged rod, I caught my biggest muskie on it. And, man, that's been I don't think I could ever possibly break that one. You, like you told me when I bought it, you could drive a
truck. Yeah, you could drive a truck over that truck. It ain't going to bother it, that's for sure. Yeah.
Other than St. Croix rods, Tom, what name brand rods do you like to use?
Well, I mostly have St. Croix, okay?
Okay.
But over the years, I don't really have a lot of panfish St. Croix. You know, most of them are bass and musky rods. So, I mean, I have a few Shimano's for panfish. And, yeah, a few Shimano's for panfish. I can't think. I mean, I have almost all St. Croix, you know, because I believe in them. They're great rods. They're made right here in the state. They are good quality rods, and they're sold around the world. So they must be doing something right up there, you know.
Let me ask you, what kind of reels do you prefer then?
Well, right now, I've got a lot of, I'm having a brain fart right now, Danny.
Shimano?
No. Okuma.
Okuma,
I have a lot of
okay.
Okuma reels, spinning and bait casting. I also have some Daiwa. You know when they first came out with Daiwa, when they first came out with their magnetic spool slowdown reels, MagForce they were called. That
right.
was in 19. It was either 1970 or 71 or 72, something like that. I bought two of them then. Do you realize I'm still using those? If you take care of them, if you take care of quality equipment, you'll have it a long time. And I still have those reels. I mean, some of the plastic stuff fell off, but didn't. It was just cosmetics. But they still work good. As a matter of fact, though, one of them started to make noises when I cast it. So I might have to send it over to Dave at Badger Reel Repair.
Hey,
I've got some dials. Yeah.
I think we're probably going to have to go to break soon.
Yeah, we do.
When we come back, can you explain to our listeners what would be the difference or reason for using a spinning reel versus a bait casting reel for bass? What's the difference? What works best for what?
Okay, that's pretty easy. We'll get into that and more stuff, all right, when we come back. Danny, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I just, okay.
Yeah. I just took a nap there for a second. Okay,
no.
Hey, listen, we're sponsored by or brought to you by Bait Made Fish Attractants, and we are on 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmitz is on the board. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back with more.
Born to be wild. Born to be wild.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. We are presented by Bait Mate Fish Attractant, Coleman Insect Repellents. Thanks for joining us on the crazy train today. Another wild ride, or not quite so wild ride. But Tom, before the break, I asked you the question.
Right.
Baitcaster or why a spinning reel for bass? What's the diff?
Baitcasters or spinning reel? Number one is weight of the lure. When you're throwing lighter stuff, you can't throw them on a baitcaster. You need a spinning outfit for the lighter lures. Number two is the weight of the line. Okay, heavier line works better on bait casters than it does on spinning rigs. But nowadays with the super braid lines, you can have a heavier line and then a fluorocarbon leader, so you can use heavier line without taking away from the benefits of a spinning by casting far and all that stuff. But generally, it's the weight of the lure. If you're throwing a spinner bait, a rattle trap, a bigger crankbait, yeah, the bait casters work great, but you could do that with a spinning, but you'd just be putting too much work on the spinning rod. You'd be putting too much effort on the line, because generally the spinning rod you have lighter line on, and the bait caster you can have heavier line on. So it's basically weight of the lures is the main thing. And here's another thing, Danny. Try skipping a plastic worm under a dock with a bait caster. There are some of the pros that can do that, but I'll tell you what. I mean, I'm pretty good with a bait caster. I can do it left-handed or right-handed and do it all different ways, but I try skipping under a dock with it. I'm just going to get a backlash right away, but you can skip under a dock with a spinning outfit without a problem. So
you're working piers and pitching, flipping, whatever all you bass guys do. A spinning reel works really well.
No. Just for skipping. If it's pitching or flipping, you can do the bait caster. But if it's skipping under a dock, you better stick with a spinning. Yeah. Okay. Unless you know how to use that bait caster extremely well. Because what happens, when you try to skip it with a bait caster, you cast out, you do it on an angle, the lure hits the water, and right away that's going to slow down the line going out, but the spool is still spinning as fast. But then as soon as it takes off from the water again, after it hits the water and then takes off again to skip it, it wants to pull line again, but you're already slowing it down. It's crazy. That's why use a spinning for skipping under docks. And I suppose that's a good tip for a lot of our bass anglers out there, or people who are going to start bass angling. In the summertime, bass are under docks, under pontoon boats, so those are great places to fish, to skip your lines under. But don't leave calling cards on people's docks and pontoon boats. What I mean by a calling card is if your lure gets hung up or your hook gets hung up, don't just break the line and leave it there like a lot of people will. Somebody might be coming walking on that dock, or when you're taking the dock out, get that hook in them, So always go and try to retrieve that hook or lure or whatever it is. Try to get it back. Do your best to get it back. And I'm sure the people who live on the shore will appreciate that.
So you mentioned, so that's skipping, where you kind of like try and do like an underhand kind of thing and just kind of skip it, so to speak, under the dock, under the pier?
It's not really an underhand thing. It's a sidearm. It's like a sidearm cast, but do you ever skip a stone in the water?
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing. The lure would be the stone, and it hits, and then it takes off again. So what you want to do is you skip it right in front of the dock so that it's at a very low trajectory, and when it hits the water, it skips off of it and goes way up under that dock. And that's where a lot of those bass are hanging out.
And so you're talking primarily light or soft plastic, something that'll skip fairly easily.
Mainly plastic worms, yes. Yeah. Mainly plastics. And here's another tip for the people who are starting to fish for bass. A lot of people use the wacky rig setup, the wacky worm. And they're, Chompers, Yamamoto, Yum, they all make Strike King. They all make the plastic worms that are made for wacky rigging. They look like a pencil, roughly 5 inches long, look like a fountain pen. Well, anyway, and you're hooking that through the middle with a wide gap short shank hook and no weight. But here's a tip. If you're not getting a lot of bites, and there's weeds around in that. I mean, not real heavy weeds, but there's, intermittent weeds in that. And you're not getting a lot of bites by working it weightless. Use a weighted hook. Now, VMC makes a special round ball jig weighted hook to get down a little bit deeper, a little bit quicker with the wacky rig. But the problem is I don't like the hook that they use. And that's just me. I just don't like that hook. I like a different style hook. So you can either put a sinker on the line right where it's attached to the hook to get it down a little bit quicker. Or there are, Danny, as a matter of fact, you've got some. You bought some for your jerk minnows. It's basically if you get a weight and a hook, and just rig it wacky style with that, what happens, you know, like a, if whether it be a 32nd ounce, a 16th ounce, a lot of times that 16th ounce is almost perfect for it. But a 32nd or 16th ounce will take it down a little bit quicker, and it'll get you back down in those weeds where a lot of those bass are hanging out, especially on some of those post-frontal days when they're not riding high, you know, when they got the overhead, you know, like today. You got the, not a cloud in the sky, a little breezy, you know, real sunny. Sometimes those bass are hanging a little low in those weeds. So putting a weight on that wacky rig is a great way to do it. Now, if you can also fish them deep. Now, they wacky rigs you can buy with up to a quarter ounce weight on them and fish them down in 20 feet of water a lot of times where the fish are sometimes. So it all depends, but that's just another good trick to use if you're not getting them on the weight on the weightless wacky rig. Put a little weight on it, get it down a little bit quicker into those weedy areas where the fish are.
So what do you mean when you say flipping?
Flipping is basically an underhanded cast where you're holding the lure like a flipping jig with your left hand, holding the rod with your right hand, and you're kind of like pulling the lure with your left and then flipping the rod and building up some momentum by holding the lure and bending the rod tip a little bit so that the lure goes shooting out from the rod. It's something I'd probably have to show you. It's kind of hard to explain, you know, verbally.
Right. Well, I can kind of understand
kinda
it.
Kind of get that. Yeah. Yeah. So, and a lot of times flipping you're doing when you got heavy weed cover, you got like lily pads or whatever. When you got a lot of junk weeds, see, because a lot of times those junk weeds are on the top, but when you get below the weeds, it's not as dense as it is on the top. There's a lot of openings. And you use a heavier jig, like a half ounce to a 1 ounce jig, and you flip it out there and let it go in down and just, I mean, and you're only flipping it maybe 15, 20 feet away. I mean, you don't have to go far when you're in that sloppy, weedy area, and that just drops down in the middle of those weeds where it might be 3-4 feet of water, but it looks like it's 6 inches because of so many weeds. And you just get it down there where the fish are, where it's not so dense, because there's fish cruising around in there. So it they basically call that punching the weeds. And you don't want to make a long splashing cast for punching the weeds. You want to make a nice quiet entry.
And finally, I'm guessing pitching is just like chucking a regular cast.
Pitching is, flipping and pitching are basically the same thing. Pitching is just a little bit further than flipping. It's just a different name. Pitching is just a little further than flipping. That's all it is, really. That's all it is. Pretty simple, actually, you know. And,
gotcha.
And you know, a lot of the stuff in today's world, whether it comes with muskie fishing, walleye, bass, whatever, it's the nomenclature that we use that a lot of times people, you know, when you're listening to the show, they don't understand what we're saying because they're not used to those words. You know, it might be the first time they're hearing them, and they're going, what the heck is he talking about? What is that, you know, that pitch?
Another big word I got to look up, Tom. We use a lot of nomenclature here on Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Yeah.
So, no, seriously, though, that's good information. When we come back from our break, for those of you who have just learned all these bass fishing tips from Tom, I've got a bass fishing opportunity I'll let you know about.
Oh, really? That's going to be interesting. Looking forward to hearing about that. Okay. Well, I guess we're going to go to a break then. So stay tuned, folks. We're going to be right back. We're brought to you by Baitmate Fish Attractants.
Back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors for our final stretch of tracks today. Thanks for taking the ride on the crazy train with us. And before we went to break, enlightened us and taught us all the nomenclature, or is that the word, nomenclature?
Yeah, that was very good.
About bass fishing. Yep, what we got that down. If you want to get into some fun bass fishing, out on Phantom Lake, for years on Wednesday nights, they've had a fun. And I believe my buddy Tommy Wilson is running it this year. He lives out there on Phantom. And basically the way it works is it's run out of the boat launch at Andrews Street. It's $15 per person, 100% payout each week. And they start collecting the entry fees at about 5:50 p.m. Once you pay, you can start fishing. There's no big blast off at 6. It looks like you can just, you know, pay at 5:50 and head out and fish. I'm not sure how many hours they go out and fish, but
Till 9 o'clock.
Till 9? Okay.
Yeah.
And then when they come back, they see who's won. And the big fish, of course, wins the biggest money. And it's just kind of a fun kind of a bass tournament on a small local lake that, with a bunch of local guys that you can get involved with and have some fun. So I would suggest that. And if you want to do a fun musky outing, I believe, Tom, are they still doing the Wednesday night musky league in Pewaukee?
I'm not sure. We should have called Smokey's Musky Shop to find out, but I don't know for sure. No.
I know they were doing that the last couple of years. Same thing where you'd show up, I believe, at Smokey's Musky Shop and just pay your whatever it is, $10, $20, whatever, and then go out and fish. And I believe the big fish would take the pot that day too. So there's some fun things you can get involved with, especially now with COVID-19's got everything else shut down. Get involved in some of these local tournaments. There's a lot of good local fishing clubs that you can get involved with. So there's plenty of things to stay active and busy doing. I believe, Tom, that the shooting ranges, from what I gather, are open. I believe I got an email a while ago that McMiller was going to be business. I haven't been down there. That's down near Eagle. The Waukesha Gun Club, we have spoken with them on the air before. They, I haven't driven by there, but I did hear some what sounded like shotgun blasts early in the morning one day out here. When the sun, you know, if the sound is carrying just right, it sounded to me like they're up and running out there as well. So now might be a good time to go out and hone your shooting skills.
Yeah, and speaking of those weekly, you know, evening tournaments, I think there's one out at Okachi too. I'm not sure where it's run out of. I'm not positive, but I think there's one on Okachi as well. That's every Tuesday night. So, and the one that's on the Phantoms is, like you said, Wednesday night, and it's from 6 to 9, and they pay out a first, second, and third place. And, you know, think about it, Danny. You get 20, 30 guys out there, and you know, you can have two guys to a boat, you know, fishing individually. But let's say you get 20, 30 guys out there at $15 a pop. Yeah, first place prize money isn't too bad. Couple $100, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you can do pretty well. In fact, here's one of the results from one of the tournaments that they had. One guy on a recent tournament took first place with a 17 3/4 inch fish. It paid him $220.
Yep.
Yeah. And another guy who had done it for the first time ever got a 16 1/2 incher that paid $155. So, you know, yeah, you go out there and, yeah, sometimes you might have to catch a 20-inch bass to win it. Other days, maybe a 17-incher, 16 1/2 incher gets you in the money. So
I'll tell you what, out there it's rare if a 20-incher wins it. It's generally a fish that's 15, 16, 17 inches. That's generally what it is every week, you know, because, you know, like we talked about before, you still got to get those fish to bite. And let's face it, you know, the Phantoms, it's really not known for monster bass. I'm sure there's some big ones in it, but generally that 16 or 17 incher is going to win it. So
now,
give it a shot, folks.
Tom, the other thing, and we don't have a lot of time to talk about this today, there's been a lot of talk about people fishing up in Door County fishing, Rowley's Bay, and so forth, and bed fishing for bass. And I know it's, that seems to be kind of like... What's your personal opinion on bed fishing for bass?
I don't do it anymore. I mean, I always can find bass in either pre-spawn or post-spawn, whether it be on a different lake or on the same lake sometimes, you know. So I just let the fish do their thing and not bother them. And because, you know, what the heck, they're going to make more bass for us to catch. So now the thing, too, is you could catch a bass on a bed and let it go right away, and it'll eventually go back to the bed. So, you know, but I just prefer not to. That's all. I just don't want to bother them. Heck, gotcha. Would you want to be bothered if you were spawning? Hey, let's get
into
that
to next
week,
all right? I got to get to that point to begin with, to start with, Tom. So let's deal with first problems first.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week. But anyway, Danny, that's all I got this week.
That's all I got.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You have been listening to the Skipper Buzz. Go out, do something nice for someone today, my friends. We'll talk to you all next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.